Okay, magandang umaga po sa lahat. Inawit natin, channels only o daluyan lamang. Nowhere is this more true and more regular, more consistent than in the way we use our tongues. Sa pamamagitan ng ating dila, doon tayo nagiging daluyan ng pagpapala o kaya ay nang hindi maganda sa ibang mga tao. This is part of the whole broad subject we are considering for more than 1 year now on Christian holiness. At nasa part tayo na the process that is ongoing in Christian holiness is mortification of sin and cultivation of graces. Kaya natin pinagsasabayan, hindi yan sequential. Hindi mo sasabihin, tatalunin ko ang kasalanan ito, pagkatapos ko ng matalo ang kasalanan na ito, yung biyaya ang aking lilinangin. Hindi ganoon ang Christian holiness. As you mortify sin, you must cultivate the opposite grace. And we are now in the part that we are talking about the sins of the tongue. Ito yung section ng ating pag-aaral na maraming silent ouch. Pero sana ay maging honest tayo sa mga tinuturo ng salita ng Diyos. Why should we take the issue of the tongue seriously? Because tongue reveals your character. Hindi naman hiwalay ang dila mo, bagamat madalas sinasabi natin, puputulin yung dila ng isang sinungaling, hindi naman. Talagang part yan ng ating pagkatao. It reveals your character. If anyone thinks himself, James 1:26 says, to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is worthless. So nandun ka man sa punto na inaangkin mo na ikaw ay makadiyos, ngunit hindi na kikita sa iyong pananalita, walang kabuluhan ang iyong pagkamakadiyos, pagiging religious. Why? What is the potential of the tongue? What can your tongue do? Ano bang magagawa ng iyong dila sa ibang mga tao? Proverbs 18:21 makes it clear. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, pinakita rito yung dalawang extremes ng effect ng tongue. Now, hindi naman yan literally true, but in the sense that it can be of the extreme evil as death, or of the real good, which is life. Death can do that. Tongue can do that. Tongue can produce the evil, which is like death, and tongue can produce the good, which is like life. Kaya mag-ingat tayo. So, sa mga software pinag-aralan natin, nasa ikatlo tayo ngayon, ang unang dalawa na pinag-aralan natin, the first is, sa judgment of the tongue, pinakita rin na hindi patatakasin ang mga mali natin o makasalanan nating pananalita. For every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, the way we use our tongue are in two ways. We talk to people, we talk about people. Now, we sometimes talk to ourselves, pero hindi na natin muna pag-uusapan yun. Baka may ibang dahilan bakit someone is talking to himself. But ito yung dalawang nangyayari. Talking to people or talking about people. And it is on this perspective that we are looking at the sins of the tongue. And so far, we have considered two. The first sin of the tongue is gossip. Sabi ni Jerry Bridges, yan ang pinaka-common na aaminin ng mga Kristiyano sa mga kasalanan ng gamit nila ng dila. They gossip. And what is gossip? Gossip is talking ill about other people. So, ibig sabihin, may kausap ka na hindi kasama yung pinag-uusapan, at siya ay binibigyan mo ng masamang mga pananalita, masamang mga sinasabi tungkol sa kanya. Now, that includes whether actually talking verbally or using words. Words in other ways, when you use words to circulate evil report about others, which have no business doing that, that is part of gossip. So, madalas mangyari yan sa mga Kristiyano. The second is flattery. Flattery is insincere or undeserved praise to gain favor. So yan, kunwari malaki katawan niya pero sa salita lang nung babae, pero kaya niya pinupuri para may makuha siyang pabor, para mula doon sa kanyang pinupuri. Now flattery, as we have studied this in detail last time, this is not an ordinary sin. And in fact, the worst type of flattery is flattery in the message of the Word of God. When you flatter people instead of telling them of their serious condition as sinners, you are flattering people. But that can have other forms, such as puri ka ng puri o hindi ka makapag-rebuke ng mga nagkakasala. So these are the sins we have so far considered about the sins of the tongue. May dalawa pa tayo na i-consider. We will consider the third today, and then the fourth, which probably is what many have been expecting as first, we will consider last. The last is lying. But what is lying? Next week, God willing, we will consider what lying is. But for this third installment on the sins of the tongue, I call it crudity. Pananalitang magaspang. Yun ang Tagalog na alam ko. Kung may mas magandang Tagalog kayong alam, sabihin ninyo. Pero ito yung magaspang na pananalita. Kapag magaspang ang isang surface, may dating sa iyong balat na sasaktan. So, sins of the tongue in terms of crudity. That means offensive language that has no sanctifying goal. So, language that offends the ears, language that offends the sensibilities, and has no sanctifying goal. So, yan ang crude language, magaspang na pananalita. Now, let me make it clear. The truth or falsehood is immaterial. Maring may sinasabi kang truth, pero ang ginamit mong tone at words ay crude, then it's not an issue na you are telling the truth. If the truth is couched in crude language, it's still a sinful language. So truth or falsehood is immaterial. Kagaya rin yan sa gossip. Hindi mo pwede sabihin na totoo naman sinasabi ko tungkol sa taong yan. Kung sinasabi mo man ang totoo, pero yung sinasabihan mo yung walang kinalaman at walang connection sa bagay na yun, kundi paninira lang, truth or falsehood is immaterial, so with crudity. Kaya yan ang tandaan natin. And sometimes, it can become so part of common language that Christians are desensitized. Ibig sabihin, nawawala yung sensitivity natin na may nagagamit na tayong crude language kasi napaka-common. Maupo ka sa bus, nag-uusap mga katabi mo, you hear crude language even in supposedly respected venues na kausap mo yung mga matataas na tao. And then you hear crude language, pumunta ka sa pinakamataas na tao sa Pilipinas, ang presidente ay very crude language. Makikita mo sa kahit saan, then very common. And the very commonality of this is the danger when Christians can fall into crudity of language. So ito ang kasalanan na dapat nating tingnan. Napakahalaga na makita natin ang rule sa language ng isang Kristiyano is stated very clearly in Colossians 4 verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So, sinabi yung always. So, lagi kang concerned na you talk graciously, at yung sinabing seasoned with salt, hindi sabihin maalat ka magsalita, kundi ang ibig sa ang gamit ng salt ay seasoning, to give flavor doon sa pagkain, pampalasa, para katanggap-tanggap. So, ibig sabihin, magsalita ka na katanggap-tanggap because it is seasonable. It is seasoned with salt. So, that is the clear rule of language for all Christians. Nasa Colossians 4 ito na sinasabi ni Pablo yung pagkakaiba ng mga Kristiyano. Nauna na niyang sinabi, paano naiiba ang mga Christian masters, the way they treat their slaves, verse 1. And then, sinabi niya yung iba pa. Pagdating sa language, ganito, iba ang Kristiyano. Ang Kristiyano, naiiba sa kanyang language because he is gracious and that he is making sure that his tone and words are seasonable. Napapanahon, may flavor, may malalasahan. Ibig sabihin, masarap pakinggan. Yan ang tinutukoy dyan. So, dalawa ang concern lagi ng Kristiyano sa kanyang pananalita. One is truth in content. Eh, dapat yung sinasabi mo ay totoo. So, titingnan natin yan next week, yung sin of lying. But, not only the truth of our content, and by the way, kaya isa rin sinasalang natin yung mga inaawit natin. May mga awit, alam nyo, even in the grace hymns, na may mga lines sila na hindi totoo, mali ang doktrina, at kahit yung mga yung sinasala natin, because of our concern that our language should be the truth. But not only truth, the other concern is your tone. Yung tono. Salita at tono ng pananalita ay dapat na may panlasa, seasonable, napapanahon. So that's the general rule for all language. And this is where crudity of language is a violation of. Now, let me make some clarification tungkol sa crudity of language. There are times that sharp language is called for. May mga panahon na matalas tayong magsalita when it is necessary for rebuke. Kaya yung sinasabi nating iwasan mo ang crude language, hindi nito sinasabi, napag-aralan na natin to under flattery, hindi natin sinasabi na you don't use sharp language when necessary, and it is necessary sometimes when you have to rebuke people, when you have to rebuke brethren who are sinning and who cannot listen to the ordinary appeal for repentance. Rebuke may be a necessity. Sabi ng Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Ang tingnan nyo yung sinabing wounds, there are words that are calculated to inflict wounds, but for a good purpose. Naalala nyo yung definition natin ng crude language, of offensive language that has no sanctifying goal. Eh, ito may sanctifying goal. There is sharp language used. Sometimes you have to tell a person, you are wrong. You are sinning against God. And if you continue doing that, it will destroy you. So sharp language, at maaaring masaktan yung tao na magulat na ikaw na kaibigan niya, sinasabi mo yun sa kanya. So let me clarify na we are not here saying that we should never rebuke, we should never use sharp language, and there is the clear possibility of anger without sinning in Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So being nice when rebuke is called for is a form of flattery. So tandaan natin yan. Pinag-aralan na natin ang flattery at doon sinabi na natin ito, very nice ka sa isang tao na obvious ang kanyang kasalanan, ay very nice ka pa rin sa kanya, ayaw mo siyang magalit, hindi yun tama. Yun ay a form of flattery. So this is a clarification that we are not talking of rebuke that is necessary, that is not crude language. But what is crude? But still part of clarification, preaching repentance will have convicting effects. Minsan sa pangangaral, may mga nag-aakala, pinapatamaan ako ng preacher na ito. At merong ganyang mabilis magbintang na ang pangangaral ay dahil sa ganito. As though they can read hearts of preachers. Alam niyo, pag kayo nakikinig, ang tanong ninyo lang ay dalawang bagay. Totoo ba sa text yung sinasabi at appropriate bang application na ginagawa? Huwag kayong tumalon sa puso ng mangaral na sabihin ninyo, ito ang gusto niyang gawin. Because that's playing God and that is not right. So, when you preach repentance, there will be cutting of the heart. It happened on Pentecost. Sa Acts 2, sinabi ng mga nakinig kay Pedro, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Sa ibang version, they were cut, nahiwa ang puso nila. So they asked, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. So when you preach repentance in a genuinely biblical fashion, expect that there will be people who will be cut to the heart. Now sometimes, in the goodness of the Lord, their response is like this. They want to know what to do. So magtatanong sila sa preacher, oh, pastor, anong gagawin ko? Parang para sa akin yung mensahe mo. Pero yung iba naman, unfortunately, yung opposite ang kanilang magiging response, magbintang, at gumawa ng kanilang sariling konklusyon. And yet, we find that preaching repentance in proper application does cut the heart. So, hindi ito yung crudity of language. But what are the forms of crudity? Itong tingnan natin. Any form of crudity is unloving language. Yan yung common denominator sa lahat ng crude language. It is unloving of the person. When you love the person, you are concerned about what your language will do to the person. Makikita natin yan mamaya sa ating afternoon message more. But crude language as unloving speech, when Paul was defining love in the classic fashion in 1 Corinthians 13, among others, sa kanyang mga negative or negation rather, love is not rude. So yan yung hindi magaspang, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. So, nandyan yung mga negation ng love. When you are exercising Christian love, among others, you will avoid is rude language. So, magaspang na pananalita at yung magagalitin, madaling magalit na pananalita, inconsiderate of the feelings of others, yan ang unloving. Basta maaaring iniisip niya, basta sasabihin ko yung totoo. At wala siyang pakialam kung anong dating ng kanyang language. That's inconsiderateness, that is lack of love. And many times, it is justified by insisting on one's personal rights, the right to speak. I have my freedom of speech. And because of my freedom of speech, sasabihin ko ang gusto kong sabihin at wala siyang pakialam sa magiging effect sa iba. Now, when you hear people make that their reason in the context of a community, in the context of a church, in the context of brethren, you are hearing an unloving person. He is not considerate of how people feel about his language. So, yan ang sinabi ni Apostle Pablo. Kaya huwag mong unahin ang right mo. We have rights. Pero what makes Christians distinct from others is that before their rights, they think of the good of others. That's distinctively Christian. So, ano ang mga forms of crudity? Offensive language or unpleasant speech. It may be offensive in two ways. pag sinabing offensive language, it creates negative reaction to the hearers. Unpleasant sa language niya. Now, it may be in two ways. It is unpleasant or offensive for cultural sensibilities. So, may dahilan sa kultura. Eh dito, kung ikaw ay papasok sa kultura ng iba, kinakailangan alamin mo yung kultura nila. Kaya we have our missionary in Thailand, and one day, God willing, he will be in the borders between Burma and Thailand, at kasama sa pinag-aaralan niya ang kultura nila. At isang sinabi nga niya sa akin, hindi ka pwede mag-straight talk sa mga Thais. They go around circles bago ka makarating sa pinakapunto mo. Well, you have to be considerate of that. May mga tao na offensive na gamitin ang mga salita. Sinong taga-Lumban dito? Nung una kong pagpunta ng Lumban, ay sinalubong ako nung host na mangangaral ako sa isang iglesia. At ang sabi niya sa akin ay, kumusta sila? Sabi ko, siyempre, sino sila? Ayun pala, yun ang gawing sign of respect nila. Third person ang gagamitin. Third person in the plural, kahit kausap kang mag-isa, out of respect, sasabihin nila, kumusta sila? Eh, hindi ko alam yung kultura. Siyempre, inunawa ko the way I would understand it. Eh, mag-isa lang naman ako noon. Sino sila? So, ibang language ang ginagamit. So you have to be knowledgeable of the culture kung doon ka ilalagay ng Panginoon. May sinabi si Pablo sa 1 Corinthians 9, "Though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." Then iniisa niya, "To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. Do not, etc." So ang point niya ay nakikibagay. Nakikibagay siya as long as hindi ito violation of the gospel, dahil ang punto niya ng pakikibagay ay to win them to Christ, that I might save some. Sabi niya, "I make myself pleasing to all that I might save some." Now, don't misunderstand this as some have done. May mga commentators na sinasabi, "Your preaching should always be pleasing to all." Eh, hindi yan ang sinasabi niya. Sinasabi niya, culturally, he tries to be pleasing to all. But then, the purpose is that he might save some. So, ayaw niyang maging culturally offensive. So, pag napunta ka sa isang lugar nga o sitwasyon na may culture issues, igalang mo yung culture nila. Yan man ay funeral culture or iba pang kultura. But the more important thing is courteous expectations. We can be offensive to what is expected as courtesy relative to age, to position, to gender. So, ibig sabihin ay may mga pananalitang para sa matanda, especially sa atin. With regard to the aged, sabi ng Leviticus, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." So, yung pagtayo ay sign ng paggalang. Hindi naman kinakailangan literally kailangan mong gawin palagi, but it's a sign of giving respect to the elderly. May mga language tayo when we use po, opo, or at least yung tone natin ay may galang. Hindi pabalang tayo magsalita sa mga matatanda, lalo na sa magulang. There are provisions in the Mosaic law that children who are disrespectful and rebellious of parents, children who curse their parents should be put to death. Na ipinapakita yung kaseryosohan na kung igagalang mo ang matanda, maximum ito sa magulang. Na pakagalangin mo ang iyong magulang because cursing parents is deserving of death. So, sa alang-alang natin yan, what is expected of age in terms of vulnerabilities. So kasasinaan mo ko ang gender dyan in the sense na women in this sense may be more vulnerable and people can be in a vulnerable situation at kinakailangan na maging maayos ang pananalita natin sa isang iglesia. Lalo't merong mga gifts na more prominent than others. Paul warns against this attitude. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And then, sabi niya, punto niya rin, mas, kung papipiliin ka, anong gusto mong mas mawala? Mga mata mo o mga kamay mo, siguro, kahit sinong pipiliin, kamay ko na lang, mas dispensable kaysa mata. Pero that's the point. If your language is of self-importance towards those who are more vulnerable, it is offensive language. It is crude. Magaspang na uri ng pananalita. So, ganun din sa kapag ang position mo, ikaw ang superior, ikaw ang subordinate, nakikipag-usap ka sa iyong superior. Again, the superiority of one's position should be taken into account. Yan sinabi ng 1 Timothy 6:1, may sinabi roon, kayong mga Christian slaves, komot ang masters ninyo'y Christians din, huwag kayong maging walang galang dahil komot sila'y Kristiyano rin. Diba? Ang point niya ay, komot kapatid kayo sa tunay na relasyon kay Kristo, hindi nyo na isa sa alang-alang na slave ka, master siya. So you still have to consider positions. Superior positions deserve respectful words and tone. So yan ang sinasabi sa offensive language. You can become offensive in matters of age, position, gender, etc. At maski sa church, may sinabi si Paul kay Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an elderly man, an elderly person. So, meron ako sa inyo rito hindi pwede i-rebuke. Pero ang point ay, there must be respect even in the church. You have to take into account their age. But also within the church, you have to take into account positions that the Lord has put them in. And kung wala kang galang sa age ng nasa church o sa position ng nasa church, it betrays your spirit. Yan ang sinasabi ng pagiging offensive ang language. So, that's a form of crudity, offensive language. Another form are swear words or cussing. O yung tinatawag nating pagmumura. Bad words either as a curse, vulgarities, and profanities. This should not be spoken and uttered by Christians. May maaring lumaki ka sa environment na halos ganyan na magsalita at mahirap alisin sa iyo, pero kinakailangan bilang Kristiyano, tanggalin mo. Ecclesiastes 7 shows its commonality. Do not pay attention to every word people say. Or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. We're all guilty of this, whether in thoughts or in actual words, we have cursed others. And therefore, in this sense, even when this is common, it is unacceptable. May mga tao na yung vulgarity nila ay halos punctuation mark na. Wala nang sense, wala naman silang kinagagalitang tao at mumurahin, kundi nagsasalita lang sila, tatawa pa, tapos pagtawa nila, kasabay na ng mura, punctuation mark na lang ang nangyayari. Even if it becomes very common, Christians should avoid it. Christians should mortify that kind of language. Proverbs 26:2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, So a curse without cause shall not alight. So ito yung mga meaningless vulgarity. Wala nang dahilan. Hindi mo pwedeng ikatwira na wala naman akong tinutukoy. But if the language is vulgar, if the language is a swear word, if the language is cussing, unfortunately, there are increasing number of preachers today who think it is cute to be cussing in their preaching. This is a total violation of the Word of God. So, swear words is a form of crude language, kahit na yan ay mere expression lamang. Remember, curse is a biblical language. But a righteous curse is only from God and on the ground of His Word. So you don't issue a curse lightly. Isang serious matter yung sinabi ni Paul, Galatians 1:8, if anyone preaches that which we have never preached, any other gospel which we have not preached, let him be accursed. O hindi yun ibig sabihin murahin, kundi ipailalim siya sa sumpa ng Diyos. It's an act of censure by the church. So ito ang isang uri ng swear word. Then, other forms of crudity are, of course, impure language. And this refers to sensuality, sexual references that are inappropriate and distasteful. Anong sabi ni Paul sa Ephesians 5? Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man, etc. But pansinin niyo na sinabi, not even be named. Ang tamang sali niya na ay not even be mentioned. Huwag yung banggitin ang ganitong uri ng mga pananalita sa inyong mga company, lalo't kung nagkakatuwaan at nagkaka-lighthearted talk, madaling mangyari ito, iwasan natin, impure language. Now, let me make it clear, there is a proper discussion of sexual subjects. The Bible talks of sex in a biblical way. From Genesis, you have that in Proverbs, and in other places of scriptures. So, sex itself is not a bad subject. But when talked in a way that is crude, ang sabi ay, don't even make it a matter of utterance among the saints. Now, let me say that I will have a different section when it comes to sexual sins. Malapit na. Hindi ko masabi kung kailan. Pero darating tayo doon when we can discuss this with more depth and more seriousness. But for now, dahil ang issue natin ay tongue, dito lang natin i-confine the use of the tongue for sensuality. And then, cruel words. Cruel words are words that are contemptuous. So, mapanghamak sa iba. Hurling contempt and hurtful insults against a person. Ay, madalas mangyari ito, syempre, doon sa mas nakakataas. Kung superior ka, at may ginawang para sa iyo ay kapalpakan ang isang subordinate na ikinainis mo at may nasabi ka na mga masakit na pananalita at na kung anong nabanggit mo, wala ka talagang isip. Yung mga ganong pananalita, malupit yun kasi nanghahamak iyon sa tao. Ang sabi ng Biblia ay, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. So alin sa mga yan ang maaring tayo ay guilty? Kailangan nating i-mortify Yan ba ay sa ating offensive language, whether culture or courtesy or swear words, impure language, cruel words. There is one opposite that we need to cultivate in contrast with crudity. The opposite of crudity we see in the Lord Jesus, in the way He uses language as it was described of Him in Matthew 12. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. A battered reed He will not break off, and a smoldering wick He will not put out, until He leads justice to victory, and in His name the Gentiles will hope. Ang pakaganda ng sinasabi sa Panginoon dito. Hindi mo siya maririnig na sumisigaw sa street, nakikipag-away, na parang palingkero, o gumagamit ng mga tatalas na pananalita. And very considerate siya dun sa mga kahinaan. A battered reed, yun daw halos pinukpok na ng maraming ulit, halos mapuputol na, hindi niya lubos na puputulin hanggat maikakabit pa niya, ikakabit niya. And a smoldering wick, yung alam mo, nanghihina na nabaga, wala nang apoy, eh, hindi niya papatayin. Sisikapin pa rin niya yung ganung kaliitan na sangkap ng mabuti sa isang tao ay mapayaman niya. That is our Messiah. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way to deal with crude language is simply to be Christ-like in gentleness of words and voice. Now I know again, some of us grew up in places, I did. I grew up in a squatters area in Santa Mesa where people are dwelling in houses wall to wall, actually rooms wall to wall. You can hear what people are saying from the other room who were of different families. And I have heard all kinds of curses. And it's something that you grow with. And then paglabas mo, hindi rin naiiba. You're dealing with people, pag may dumating na nandun ka ako sa train station ng Santa Mesa, kapag dumating ang train, unahan ng baggage siya, ang baggage boys ang tawag sa amin nun. Unahan ng pag-baggage para mangkapera, eh murahan yan, takutan yan. So again, I grew up in that environment. I know how difficult it is to take it away from your system. Even as I'm conscious that I should not do that, in moments of unsound mind, in moments when there is uncontrolled anger, it still comes out to my regret. But it is something that we must mortify. And let us follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means we need to respect people. Why? The most basic reason why Christians respect people is not because they're educated, not because they're good-looking, not because they're well-dressed, not because they're normal. The reason why Christians should respect people is because, according to James 3:9, with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. That's the reason. Yan ang dahilan bakit kahit pa mababa kaysa sa'yo positionally, hindi ka pwedeng maging mapanghamak. Hindi ka maging cruel. Because this person you're looking at, sometimes he makes a mess of himself. He makes a mess of his own appearance. And yet for all that, he is a man created in the image of God. And he deserves my respect. So, this is the reason why isang bagay na pakalinangin natin. Kung ang language natin ay without crudity, it will be more effective. yung gusto mong mangyari, mas mangyayari. If you don't use crudity, as Peter said, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But Peter adds very strongly, but do this with gentleness and respect. So this is a challenge to all of us who have a struggle with gentleness of language. Yung pag ikaw ay nasaling, ang unang reaction mo ay to retaliate with sharp words. Manakit. At mawala ng galang. Hindi ganito ang Kristiyano. So, let us beware. Let us mortify crudity of the tongue so that we may be more holy through gentleness of language. Any question? Any question or thoughts you'd like to share? Maybe testimony how you probably have overcome natural crudity of the tongue. It's something that I would be interested to know. Anyone? Walang nag-struggle sa crude language? Ako lang? Fish. Magpakiayos siya.
Pastor, meron po akong, marami po akong kilala ng mga Reformed or Calvinist na pinagtatawanan ng mga Charismatics tsaka mga Arminians particularly. Parang ano po, parang marami pong mga jokes tungkol dun sa Charismatics and Arminians. Pero po, parang pinagtatanggal nila yung kanilang ginagawa. Kasi parang hindi po yung tao mismo yung pinagtatawanan nila, pero yung doctrine po yung pinagtatawanan nila. Sin pa rin po ba yun?
So, whenever you make contempt of others because you feel your belief is superior to them, whether true or not, but when you speak contemptuously, it is wrong. Yung ang sinabi ni Peter na mas magiging effective ka if you use gentleness and respect. I teach my students that. I have taught apologetics, how to defend your faith. I have taught polemics, how to refute the cults. So, pareho kong tinuro yun at lagi kong sinasabi, the underlying tone is never be contemptuous of those in falsehood. Hindi yun ang paraan natin. So, maging magalang tayo, maging sa kanila. I have heard preachers talking of, to quote someone who said, this stupid Arminians, he said. Which of course is by implication, I'm intelligent because I'm a Calvinist. That is just so opposite to biblical belief in the doctrines of grace. What you are is out of grace, not because you are more intelligent than the stupid ones. And let's never talk that kind of language of brethren who may have false teachings.
Tapos po, nakikita ko rin po kasi yung ganyang attitude sa mga memes, yung mga kumakalat sa Facebook or sa social media. Gumagawa sila ng mga quotes or ganyan, or parang para patamaan yung mga
educate me, anong memes?
Ay, sorry.
I'm not a tech literate.
Okay po. Mga photos po, kunyari mga stock photos po or kahit anong cartoon, tapos nalagyan po nila ng mga captions na parang satire po yung dating, na parang okay. Pinagtatawanan nila yung mga reactions or yung mga doctrines po ng mga dinisagree nila. So parang pinuput nila yun as a guise ng satire. Di ba po meron rin namang place ang satire sa pagre-rebuke or gano'n? Paano
po yun? There is a place for satire when you are in a position to show the yung folly of a particular view. But satire is not contempt. Satire is showing the folly. Ang isang halimbawa nito is Martin Luther's The Bondage of the Will was his answer to Erasmus the diatribe. Pinagtanggol ni Erasmus ang free will. sinagot ni Martin Luther, and Martin Luther's answer was, in many places, satire. Pinakita niya how foolish this belief is pag pinaghawakan mo. Pero he was not contemptuous. He was, in fact, ang tawag niya lagi kay Erasmus, a very noble man, a very intelligent man. So very high ang praise niya kay Erasmus, pero pinapakita niya ang folly ng kanyang belief. So there is place for satire, but not contempt. Contempt ay panghahamak.
Thank you po.
Okay. Other questions? Tish.
Pastor, paano po yung ano, parang yung mga common po ngayon na gender issues. For example, may isang male, biologically male na transgender siya. So parang ang pananamit niya and ang appearance niya ay female. For us, di ba, parang hinihingi nila is dapat i-address sila with pronouns na akma dun sa appearance nila or how they believe they should be addressed, like she, ganon. Pero di ba ang... They were created by God as male. So parang ang conviction, for me, I feel ko pa ang conviction dapat natin is i-address siya as a he. Pero ma-offend naman siya kung i-address siya as he. There's also the parang use the parang neutral pronouns na they or ano na lang. Pero paano kung singular nga? What are we supposed to do in these kinds of cases? Especially ngayon na very prevalent po siya.
Yeah, it's very common ngayon. In fact, the Oxford English Dictionary that gave the word they a new meaning that wasn't there before. We always understood they to be the third person plural pronoun. Today, they is used for a singular person who neither wants to be identified as a he or she. So, they ang ginagamit. And I refuse to do that. If I'm talking to a person who is obviously male, I talk to him as male. And I'll use the pronoun I believe is appropriate for him. Kung ma-offend siya, di pangalan na lang niya gamitin ko lagi. Rex, alam mo Rex, ganito Rex yung ano. Rex. pero not very... Very awkward naman yun. Kaya, no, I will not be pushed to a situation where I will follow a person's unsound view of himself, which is a rebellion against God's creation. Ipilit man niya na woman siya psychologically, but he's a man. The body says he's a man. Nothing has changed about his maleness. So, as respectfully as I could, I would continue to treat him as a man. Other questions? Other questions? Or, again, I would love to hear thoughts, experiences, testimonies, how you overcame crude language in your own life. Meron pa? Rex Joshua. Si Rex. Right. So, kumot ang mura sa'yo ay English. Hindi naging class. Yung mura pa rin yun. And you have to correct. And there was one instance I read that I remember na kumakain siya sa restaurant. And then on the opposite table was a group of men who were also talking, and they were cursing, and they were using the name of Jesus in their curses. May ganun sa English. So, hindi siya nakatiis. Lumapit siya sa table. Very polite, sinabi niya, gentlemen, I happen to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and every time you curse His name, it offends me. So, could you refrain from doing that? And the group apologized. But it takes guts, it takes boldness. Yung nasaktan ka para sa iyong Panginoon, matuto kang maging matapang na kung kailangan, sawayin sila. So, buti, apologetic sila kung sinabi nila, anong pakialam mo? Sabi, hindi, okay lang, okay. Pero kailangan matapang tayo sa mga ganong bagay. Again, the swear word is not acceptable even if it is meaningless. Nag-miss ka ng pag-shoot, mura. Naka-shoot ka, mura pa rin. May nagsabi sa akin, pinalitan daw niya. Pag naka-shoot siya, sabi niya, praise God. Sabi ko, mali pa rin. That's taking the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. So, wag mali. Other questions? So, Ferdy?
Sir, lumalabas kami this oras ng gabi para sawayan sila. At pamagahan sa mga Mobile Legends at kung ano-ano pa. Ang aking tanong ay, kasi dumating na kami sa punto na siguro baka kailangan mag-consider tayo na lumipat ng lugar. Kasi many times nasasabi ko sa mga kabataan especially na yung anak ko gumigising na maaga, yung asawa ko, ako din, dahil bumibiyahe ako, talaga walang tulog na maayos. May lugar po ba, yun yan, na naisip namin na kung may pagkakataon na lumipat ng lugar for the sake, yung mas gusto namin maging productive kasi nag-aaral ka or may ganong ano pa, sorry.
It's a right consideration if you have a valid alternative. Sabihin ko talagang may malilipatan ka naman na valid alternative, it's fine na ilayo mo ang iyong sarili, pamilya, mga anak sa ganong impluensya na hindi maganda. And I know what you mean. As I've said, I grew up in it. Minsan may narinig pa ako talagang narinig ko ito na nagmura yung maliit na bata. Malutong na mura. Sabi ba naman ng nanay sa tatay, uy, ang anak natin marunong na magmura. Gusto mong sapakin. So, pero yun nga ang environment na very acceptable. And as I've said, even when it is meaningless, it is not acceptable. Other thoughts? Carol?
Pastor, siguro yung ano, this can be a struggle for parents as we exercise our authority to our children. And at times when probably we're not in our yung maayos na sarili, or when we have other pressures that may affect us, sometimes hindi naman nag-curse, but we may be saying words that may have a negative reaction. So there's always, in that case, there's always a place for asking for forgiveness. For if ever we have said something that may have hurt our children, especially at times na we say na, I am in authority. It shouldn't always be that way, especially kapag may mga anak ka na rin, na Kristiyano na rin, there's also that the fact of the we are brothers in Christ.
Yeah, exactly. One way to mortify that sin is when you do it, learn to ask forgiveness from the person to whom you have done it. So by that, ay mapapaalala sa iyo, huwag kong gagawin kasi kailangan kong mag-confess. Kung mangyari, one way to mortify that sin is learn to confess. Joshua?
May nabasa lang pong article, isang Christian author. Do you agree po sa view niya na yung mga euphemisms for swear words is mali pa rin gamitin? For example, yung hell, ginagawa niyang heck. Or does that fall po sa parang meaningless use ng words?
Well, even if you make a euphemism of something that is rooted in a bad word, ganun din ang kahulugan nun. So let us be careful. A true euphemism is where you use an acceptable language instead of a more harsh language. So may place for euphemism. Pero yung euphemism na binago mo lang yung spelling ng something that you know where it is rooted in, does not remove the evil ng crudity. Last thoughts, crude language. At yung crude language, of course, extends not only sa verbal, but when you use words in writing, in social media, in podcast, or wherever language is used, this applies. And we should be very careful to be known not as a crude speaker or writer, but a gentle and respectful one. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kami humihingi sa iyo ng habag sa aming pinag-aralan ngayon sa uri ng pananalita na maaring nagagamit namin sa makasalanang paraan kasama rito, Panginoon, ang magaspang na pananalita. Panalangin namin na sa iyong biyaya ay magdaig namin ito at mapalitan ng mahinahon na pananalita kasama sa mismong salita, pati tono ng aming pananalita, maging katulad kami ng Panginoon naming Hesukristo. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that it has even more effectiveness if we are gentle and respectful in our language. Grant that we would apply the general rule for Christian speech, that it should always be gracious and seasoned with salt. You know, those of us who struggle with crudity of language, either in our own individual upbringing, or perhaps we are surrounded by influence of crude speaking, grant that we may overcome all this and mortify them. And again, we pray that we may be known for the sake of Christ as gentle and respectful speakers and users of language. Be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.